Morning, Republic of Texas Radio. Today's date is, well, October the 22nd, 2023, or the old 23, as we don't call it. You know, this year is almost over. That was going through my head just a little bit ago, actually, last week when Sam mentioned New Year's. And I says, what the heck are you talking about New Year's for, Sam? Well, I didn't tell it to him. I thought about it. What the hell? And it's only, as of today, there's only 70 days left in this year. Can you believe that? That's 2023 for you folks. Has it been hell? Hasn't been the best. Not for me anyways. Maybe for you. I hope it has been good for you guys. I've enjoyed Republic Broadcasting this year. Definitely. My hat's off. I don't usually wear a hat, but if I did have a hat, my hat would be off to the folks over at Republic Broadcasting. You know, the work that they've done, and cheers to Sam. You know, here's to working on that weekend schedule. I like the way it's looking, man. You're doing a good job. And even, you know, the weekdays, which I don't usually listen to. I find that fascinating, that in itself. I used to be a big weekday RBN. I've been all over the place, you know, listening to Republic Broadcasting since I think I found it in 2007, 2006. And to your listening patterns as you go through things. And by the way, Alan's going to be joining us sooner or later, or not. You know, I don't know. He had quite a day yesterday, and he had a few things that he wanted to do. I guess he wanted to get off the couch for once. You know, when I first met Alan, he used to be off the couch like 24/7. Well, not really, but he used to do an awful lot of stuff. But now he's kind of been, I don't know. We go through places, but what I was saying about Republic Broadcasting is, you know, the place that it's it fits in with me is usually on the weekends. That's the shows that I usually like to listen to. I have more time to do that. My job, at least right now, entails that I sit there and I talk to people all day long. So I can't really have an earpiece in my head or in my ear. You know, and listen to what's going on all the shows. On the weekends, I kind of do that, unless it's family time. And I think it's very important to kind of like drop the dual conversation. That kind of distances you from other people when you sit there with an earpiece in your ear and then other people are doing stuff around it. It's just as bad as you, staring at your rectangle. You know, all day staring at your phone, right? Going out to dinner with somebody and then, you know, playing with kittens or Twit Talk or whatever the hell you play with. You know, I get it. It's hard. It's maybe not for a Republic Broadcasting listener. It is a little bit hard for me, and I do have to sit there and censor myself. Not censor, control myself. You know, yeah, control myself is the word. But that's been an ongoing battle since the advent of these things called phones, cell phones, that is. Back in the early 2000s, being an IT guy, we'd go to a restaurant, you know, sometimes at the end of the day, on a Friday, or even on a weekday if we're all feeling kind of feisty and everything has been going on. And you get together with a whole bunch of IT guys and you go out, right? And you walk over to some bar, and the rule of the road was no talking about Star Trek and no work, no looking at cell phones, no text messages, no pagers, nothing like that. Can't do it. And so we'd try to, you know, Well, you'd try to control yourself, but sometimes you actually had to try to control your friend, who would grab his phone and he'd start typing on his limited keyboard. That was actually before Android. But we did, as geeks, have ways to do stuff without smartphones. We tethered with laptops and all that. But there's nothing worse than being in a restaurant with, well, I guess today, you know, we have so many different generations that kind of stuff, doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter to some. You know, I had to go to the hospital this week to do a blood test for this thing that I'm dealing with, right? Got all sorts of stupid stuff, but I was going to a blood test. So I go into the hospital, and first thing I have to get past is, am I going to die? Right? You know, I'm going into a hospital. Do you know where all the diseases are? Hospitals. You know what else has that in a hospital? Dancing nurses. No, they're not dancing anymore. They've all quit, retired, at least the good ones, or died, right? You know, I'm still, man, 2 weeks ago I got a report from a friend of mine. It wasn't really a report. It was kind of a sad commentary that her sister had passed away, and she was a nurse down in Houston. And funny thing about that, you know, she was a pretty much a natural type person. Didn't like treating things with drugs and all that, but she worked in a hospital, right? And she'd put people on the drugs and all that other stuff, but she wouldn't take all the drugs, and she didn't believe in all that. And I'm kind of like, wow, we sure are dichotomies, I told her about her sister. And she goes, yeah, that's funny, huh? And I go, I guess that's like me. You know, I'll sit there and, well, I'll help you with your cell phone radiation in your house. I mean, by irradiating you at the levels you want to be irradiated at. You see, a lot of houses are built in Faraday cages, at least here in the Texas Hill Country. The glass that they use, the real expensive glass, they call it low E glass. And at the different manufacturers, it's like a Faraday cage in the window itself. So you put a cell phone behind the window and a cell tower on the outside, and you're going to filter out a lot of that energy. You walk over to the wall, which is sheetrock and maybe some, you know, some trim board on the outside, maybe some plywood, maybe some rock. And actually, the radio frequencies don't go through the rock and the sheetrock. Well, they go through better, but I digress. But I'll sit there and I'll help these people irradiate themselves. And how is that good, Steve? Do you educate them as you go in? You know, I make my living on computers and IT work. And and so I ask myself, and I have asked myself before, how do you justify that? These guys want to be irradiated, so, and to tell you the truth, I'm not this 5G person. I see we have Alan with us, so we'll get to him in a second. But I do want to say this real quick since I started this conversation. I do believe that radio frequencies have a part of the destruction of, well, mankind in the last 100 years. I don't believe that they're harmless, right? I really don't. I don't know that AM and FM is harmless. I don't know that a lot of things. You know, who was it that was talking about Sam Milhouse last week? It was so great to hear about that. He wrote about dirty electricity and the stuff that we don't talk about, how tires, wheels themselves in your car create, you know, magnetic what's the name of the damn thing? They create magnetic fields. It creates fields around, and that those are bad for people. But Sam Milhouse, Dirty Electricity, great read. Was it Sherry that mentioned that? I think so. Anyways, but I don't buy into a lot of 5G scary stuff, right? I do buy into a lot of frequency scary stuff, right? Beam weapons, right? Yes, beam forming is a form of a beam weapon, right? Where you're steering a frequency to a spot. Yes, what frequency are you steering, right? Is it a microwave frequency? How much damage and what kind of damage now, you know, because we're so easy to say, oh, 5G. Oh. Sorry for the rant, folks. I was just taking up airspace, waiting for Alan to get on. Alan, how was that wild turkey last night?
All right, I guess. Don't know what was, I don't know what's wrong with my alarm clock. It was sitting here just kind of going, ee. I don't know. Maybe it's got the COVID. I don't know.
It might. You know, everything gets the COVID, but it doesn't kill anything. You know, I was listening to a health podcast this week, and the chick was talking about being a coroner. Man, it was I can't remember what show I was listening to, and it was kind of a normie podcast, and I was listening to it for other reasons than listening to the news of the alternate media. But the lady was sitting there telling me she was a coroner, right? And I didn't realize that coroners were elected positions. And I'm like, I can't remember what show I heard it on. And so she was elected. She was a nurse. And then the COVID came along. And she said, what? Oh, man, what's up with this COVID? Right. And then she was just onto it. Nobody could get across anything with her. And it ended up that her county, Minnesota, I think it is. I think it was Minnesota, was the lowest death count for COVID deaths in 2020 and 2021, because they actually didn't use the PCR test and all that other nonsense. And, you know, I don't know. Damn funny. I'm sorry. You brought up COVID. No. What else is there to talk about there, Alan? COVID, you know, Donald Trump.
That was actually brought up to me yesterday when I went to a family reunion, and some of the people weren't going to show up because one of them supposedly had the COVID, and another one had, you know, it's just, that sham is still going around. Hopefully they're not, you know, having run death is near shoved into them and all that stuff, but I don't know. I haven't heard enough time keeping track of my own life.
So. I know, and I still get involved with that. I saw two pretty young gentlemen. I guess they're kind of old, walking around trailing each other in the supermarket the other day while wearing masks. And I'm like, going, kidding me? You know, what are you doing? Which one of you is insane and which one's following the insane person? And do you both believe that crap? You know, I don't know. But, you know, we're heading, I don't know where we're heading. Leave it to me. All I know is we're going down. We've got these polarities going on. I did notice that a lot of the Karens haven't been masking up too much yet. You know, a few weeks ago, there was a lot of the Karen-styled women, Alan, and, you know, they walk around. They own the world, and they'll tell you how to do it, you know, and they were wearing masks, but I guess they figured out that nobody was going to follow them. So, or maybe I'm not seeing them anymore.
Women, the new men. Yeah.
Yeah. The leaders, the pillars of our society. Oh, God. Just to think about people. You know, you were mentioning some people problems that a few days ago or yesterday, something like that. And I've been watching that myself. You know, and folks, I guess, is there news to cover, right? What do you want to say about the news? So let's talk about reality. If you want to say something about the news or something, go ahead and call us, 512-248-8252, and we'll get to you pretty dang quick, or 800-313-9443. But people, they fascinate me. Good people and even bad people. I have, and then there's the in-betweens. And then there's the, I don't know why the hell they're doing this. I told this story to Alan already, and I guess I have enough time to kind of go into it. I've been looking for a new place to live. And so here in Fredericksburg, there are, well, very high prices. And there's just way too much, there's way too many people that want to live here now. Right, so it's the new California. It's got its own winery row. We call it the Wino Row. And you can get a place here, and there's a bunch of restaurants that you can eat until you're big as a cow, and then go drink, and then come back to your house. And, you know, so it's a very booming retirement type area, I guess. Vacation getaway place. So
escapism.
Escapism, right? You know, it's going to be one of the Agenda 21 recreational areas. But as we bring in the guests, right, the people that buy the houses, when I moved here 10 years ago, you could still buy something for around the 200,000s, somewhere in there, right? Nowadays, you're getting more Californian on it, and I don't think that you can find anything real for $400,000-$500,000, somewhere around there. You know, they'll try to buy it for you for $200,000, but it's put the housing market to wow, and the houses have been bought up for vacation rentals. And short-term and long-term rentals, mainly short-term rentals, because everybody sees dollar signs, you know, when they say, well, I've got a house and I can rent it out for how much a night, Alan? What, $100, $200, $500?
Some of them go for $500, $600, $700 a night. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of them up to a couple grand a night that sleep like armies, right? The big houses, but it's neither here nor there. But a lot of times people buy these things up and then they realize how much upkeep it's involved. You have to pay your gardener, your landscaper, you got to pay the cleaning people, you know, all the maintenance of the high maintenance people that come in on the weekend. Then there's all the complaints that come from your neighbors, if you have neighbors, because a lot of times you just have B&Bs. But it's a damn circus. So I was looking for a house, right? You know, I've been looking for a place to stay for a little bit now. And I ended up, well, a friend of mine said they found a place or knew of a person or, you know, out near another city, a city out, this thing called Stonewall. And so I'm like, okay. So I call them up and then they're like, well, we're not quite Stonewall. I'm like, well, okay. We're outside of Stonewall. I go, okay, what does that mean? We're just a little bit farther. Why the hell can't people actually tell the truth? You know, why? Because they're going to scare me off by telling me the truth. Just a little bit past Stonewall. Doesn't that sound a little deceptive, Alan?
A little past Stonewall, you're almost in Austin nowadays. I mean, God, that whole area out there east of town is just becoming so developed. You know, there are just unbelievable amounts of gated communities just everywhere you go.
But they couldn't.
What used to be farmland and ranchland.
You know? They couldn't have advertised that they were in, you know, the town they were, which was a place called Sandy, right? And then I would have said, wow, okay, Sandy, that's quite a ways. Well, okay, yes or no. Instead, they have a little bit of bait hanging over there. Stonewall's one of the, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, I'm halfway to Egypt. Well, it really wasn't Egypt. It's only, 45 minutes away. Hang on, I'll tell you a story you don't want to hear when we get back. And then I'll finish up and we'll move on. Republic of Texas Radio.
When it does, I know it's on you and I. do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth, or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net, for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing Terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
So here we fight all through the night.
Coming back. Republic of Texas Radio, 70 days left in, well, 2023. Just to let you know. Hey, before the break, we got Mike in Kentucky on the line, but I'm going to finish my story real quick, and I'll try to be fast. I got to this place, this Sandy, right, and I see the owner, and the owner is old, right? You know, here in Fredericksburg, the old Germans grow old, right? You know, they can reach 100 and something. Right. Easy. But they were fed good food and, you know, well, they might have been genes, too. This gentleman was somewhere in the 90s and he didn't have his eyesight anymore. And so we made a lot of blind jokes and he was a very good spirit. He was kind of like his in-law was kind of dragging him around. Saying, "Oh, here's a step, here's this and that and whatever." I asked him, "How is it that a blind man gave me directions to get to his house?" I'm like, "That doesn't make sense," but it worked. You know, I usually get lost. Anyways, I see this beautiful house, right? And I'm going, "Wow, well, you got some nice merchandise." He says, "Yeah, I got 2 houses, and the third's coming up here in a little bit." And I look at the first one, and I'm like, "Whoa, this is great." Oh, it's a east-facing picture bay window, you know, nice walls, beautiful plaster on the walls, wood-trimmed, real hardwood floor. I'm going, two bath, 2 bedrooms, just a nice building, rock walls, you know, everything that I'd expect, you know. And, you know, so I look it over, and he says, "Yeah, the lady's going to be out of here next month." I'm all, yeah, I'm interested. And that's even with it being 45 minutes from town. Yeah, 30 to 45 minutes, just depends. But that's a long ways to drive every day. But I've done it before when I lived in other areas. Anyways, and I asked him, well, how much do you want? And then he's all, well, I'm going to have to get $13.50 for this one. And I go, whoa, okay. And I go, that's a little steep. And he says, yeah, well, he didn't fill it in. And, you know, that's what you pay for houses in town. Well, $13.50 to $3,000. That's really the thing. It can fluctuate. I don't know. Some people,
yeah, but Steve, you know, also, you know, jobs for average people, you know, their income's not gone up high enough to keep up with the increases in the housing market and everything, and basically everything, you know. You know, several years back, they did an article in the paper. They called it the Aspenization of Fredericksburg, you know.
It's true.
This is what happened up in Aspen, Colorado, you know, that anyone who was going to work in the shops couldn't afford to live there with all the other little snow bunnies walking around in their mink boots and everything.
And, snow bunnies.
Yeah, it's strange.
All right. Well, we'll get back to this after we go to Mike. I hate to keep him on the phone. Hey, Snow Bunny, welcome to the show.
Over.
That's you, Mike. Mike, over. It's the quiet edition of Mike.
There's got to be something wrong in this world if Mike's not speaking. Kind of like me not interrupting.
Am I there?
Yeah,
there
okay.
He is.
Over.
Hey,
my cheek.
Okay, everything's fine.
My chubby cheeks messed it up there. Hey, switched lines. So, Alan, you sound like you got a little under the weather thing going on. You got a cold?
No, just some sinuses.
Oh. Well, during the 1918 flu pandemic in France, there was a guy that got all the cognac he could get. They gave him unlimited supply because he was crushing up garlic and soaking it in cognac. And your hipster town there, you could probably also find some dark wine from Peru or Argentina that's grown, you know, high altitude. That, like a dark red, I don't know, Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot. But the combination of the dark chocolate, black tea, and some pressed carrot juice. Those hipsters have probably got pressed carrot juice around town. I learned this in the 90s off of shortwave radio, and it worked several times for me on congestion, colds. It wouldn't go away. The trick, though, is you have to cut out all dairy, no cheese, milk, whatever, and it's snuck. If you start looking, milk is snuck into about everything. So I learned how to read the allergy ingredients, and at the bottom in bold black letters, it'll say contains milk, peanuts, whatever, your allergy statement. You don't have to read all the ingredients. That worked for me several times for laryngitis, walking pneumonia, or stuff that just lasted weeks, and going to the doctor was useless. So. But anyway, I just thought
around here, Mike. I mean, we've got, you know, when the cedar releases. I mean, like I said, it looks like yellow fog blowing across the hills.
You must be related to me.
I don't live in a pristine environment. I live in a converted barn. I mean, you know, it's like my kitchen used to be. You know, it was a grain room. You know, for holding grain. You know, when it was first built. So,
right.
You know, hopefully there's not as many mice. I do have a couple of cats now. I haven't had a mouse problem in a while, but no, I live in an old barn. You know, I stay in tune with my environment, I guess. Be it good or bad,
it's your immune system up.
Get over.
What's that?
What did I tell you about riding beside of him? I'm sorry, we're on the interstate, and I'm coaching a new driver. And a semi-truck lost a tire right beside of us after I told him not to drive beside of it.
Was Boom. It just the tire or was it the whole wheel?
No, he lost it. They call it a gator. The whole thing went blowed up, and that stupid car behind us would not let this 17-year-old driver get over and about ran into the back of us. People are stupid. If you see a tire gator all over the road, you got to let the person in front of you get over. I got to let you go. All right.
Don't crash. Well, Mike just hit it. He said it really quickly. People are stupid. people are stupid. Over. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
Try to pay attention. It's like you said, it's in my head. I can't run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. We'll miss it for the sun.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
People are stupid, and there, by the grace of God, goes I. That's what I say to myself a lot of times. I go, I watch some stupid person, and I go, have I ever done that? Sometimes I have, sometimes I haven't, but, you know, it's kind of fun when you got a bunch of dumb Fs driving around. Well, it's scary, too. Maybe I should be more afraid of all the dumb Fs. You know, I don't know why I'm saying dumb Fs. Maybe I felt like it, something like that. Hey, Alan, I was over, you know, where I'm staying has me driving by the Dino Burger, right? So there's this place, and y'all over in RBN land, if you've been listening to the show for a while, we've talked about Dino Burger previously in other episodes, and Andy from Texas. Andy bought Alan a Dino Burger and three Dino Burgers for $100 or something like that. He was just trying to get a really good hamburger. Instead, he got, well, I don't know. Was it $70, Alan? How much did
it? It was $60 something for three hamburgers and some fries.
Three hamburgers. Right? Yeah. It's a Dino Burger, right? You know, it's a little thing on the side of the road where lawyers hang out. And, you know, I drove by it.
They've got electric car charging portals up there. They've got three standard and one Tesla charging portal, which unfortunately me and the guy I work with, we helped put those in.
Installed them? I know. Yeah. It's great. It's like, okay, so Alan, you have to ask yourself, have you contributed to the destruction of society itself by installing those damn things? Right? You know?
Well, at least our small town. But then I also work construction, putting in, you know, water and sewer lines into housing developments in Fredericksburg, you know. So I'm responsible for about, probably somewhere in the range of 400 to 500 people being able to turn their tap on and flush their toilet.
Yeah, that's true. And is that good or bad? You know, I mean, I don't know. Arguing those points are kind of pointless. But yesterday, as I was driving by, I didn't realize what a tourist trap that place had become since it first came online. You know, it's just a little stupid. Sorry, you know, when I went over there, it was an old gas station and had a, you know, it's a gas station from the 60s, 50s, had a small counter and some beers and a table outside. And now it's just like, wow, all this stuff filled with Harley Davidsons all over, electric cars everywhere, BMWs, Mercedes, whatever on the side. I was driving by it and there was an accident about, well, I'd say a quarter of a mile from the location. And I saw this one Harley and it was wrecked on the side and it had a BMW in front of it. So a Harley crashed with a BMW and I go, oh, crap. Well, I hope the guy on the Harley still owns his law firm. he'll take him to the coals, right? You know, oh, you shouldn't have hit the Harley. He's a lawyer. And you know,
he's a CPA. You're going to get audited now.
Right? You know, he's the... And makes me long for the days where bikers were bikers. You know, and they weren't retired lawyers and just out there highfalutin on their bikes. But, you know, maybe that isn't quite true, because when bikers were bikers back in my day, I used to drive a rice burner and they'd be kind of dicks to me, but at least I was faster than them. So it was kind of like, well, F you, I'm gone. You know, you go harass somebody else. But they would have gotten off their bikes and shot me, beat me up, killed me, something, you know, because they were still not old retired men on Harley Davidsons. Oh, that's a sad thing. You know, what is this? You know, when you've got old 57 Chevys driving around. I saw a whole slew of them yesterday or the day before, and I love the car. That's great, and I love it for its simplicity, right? An engine, a transmission, a drive shaft, a rear end, just some steel, right? You know,
an carburetor instead of an injector, and fuel air adjustment. You know, you can
and wires.
You know, you can go down and you can turn. You can turn. You know, your distributor. You know, to make sure that, you know, set the timing, you know, correct and everything. And yeah,
yeah, it's so beautiful. But then you look inside it, and you know, there's somebody that's 100 and something years old, and you're like, wow, am I 100 and something years old? Well, they appreciate it, right? Because those are the toys of their childhood. And I guess they were the toys of my childhood too, you know. And when I was growing up and first driving, you know, I had 50s, 60s, 70s cars. You know, they were around, and I enjoyed working on them. They were easy to work on. I wish they were still like that. I do think that some of the newer cars probably have better bodies than the older cars. They're safer to crash, because I think we get a little complacent when we think about driving and moving 70 miles an hour down a road. And especially here in Texas, then you get a deer that jumps up in front of you and takes you out. Yeah, it's nice to have a car that can take
it. Yeah, I was dodging deer coming back from the family reunion last night out here on the county roads. You know, out here, because, you know, the rut is starting up, deer are starting to skitter back and forth. The rut's not full in yet. When the rut's full in, you're on a highway. You better not be doing more than 45, 50 miles an hour, because unless you have a big, you know, deer grill guard on your pickup truck, because if you're doing any faster than that, you will hit a deer.
Most everything has a grill guard on it. I remember seeing an old 90s Honda and on the road here in Fredericksburg, and I don't see it anymore. I used to see it all over the place. Maybe they stopped driving it. But somebody welded up a grill guard for it, and it was like, whoa. They took off the front bumper, one of these little plastic bumpers, and, well, used metal plate and built a grill guard for bouncing, Bambi off of?
Playing deer pinball, yeah.
Yeah. There are certain roads out here that are definitely still their territory, and unfortunately, unfortunately. But what I've been seeing an awful lot, and I don't know if you've noticed this, is there something going on with the raccoons? You know, I'm seeing an excessive amount of raccoons dead in the road.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, why are you guys so high of a population right now?
You want me to tell you why, Steve?
Yeah.
For one thing, you know, a good coon pelt used to bring $25 back in the 70s, and that was damn good money in the 70s. You know, you $25 for a coon pelt. You also had ranch families living out here, and you know, they would call my opa up and say, hey, you know, Mr. Bassey, can we go down along Pecan Creek there and coon hunt tonight? Oh, yeah, I'll come down and shoot every one of the little bastards you see, you know, because they kill your chickens, they get into your feed. You know, they're like miniature, you know, grizzly bears, you know. They're strong as hell, they're very smart, and a lot of them have a real attitude. But no, it's like, try raising, you know, if you're trying to raise chickens out here in the country anymore, you better have like a max security chicken house, you know, that your chickens never get out of, because... if you try to free range them and you're not just, you know, don't have a dog out there, or you're not out there with your chickens all the time, the coons and the hawks and the buzzards and the possums and the foxes and the ringtails and everything eats chicken. Hell, even my white-tailed deer eat chicken. Y'all heard that story a couple of years ago. Kind of freaked me out. It still kind of freaks me out seeing my pet white-tailed deer out there with the collar on, you know, out there snacking on a chicken and, you know, that got killed, and I was waiting for the coon that killed it to come back and finish it, and I look out, and my deer eating chicken.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes. You know, I noticed that with cats. You know, I was I've had cats all my life, right? And they usually live for, 15, 16, 18, 20 years? You know, 20 is the longest, I think, maybe 21. But out here... they got to do some work, right? There are things that want to kill them, and staying alive is it's a thing in and to itself. And I lost a lot of cats in the first few years of moving to Fredericksburg, and it was it was a shame because they were all good animals. But we digress again. So,
on the coon and the predator situation, you know, it has gotten back. Like I said, all these people are moving out here from the city, and at the most they'll do, if they're having a problem with an armadillo in their yard or a coon coming up and eating their cat food on the back porch, they'll set a live trap for it, and they'll live trap it, and then they'll take it a couple of miles away and lovingly release it to be someone else's problem. Or tell you what, folks. Coons and animals, they range miles, you know. They some of them have rather large territories. You take it 2 miles up the road and release it, that damn coon is going to find its way back to your house because it knows where the cat food is.
Yeah.
Nature is not stupid, you know. They have their own innate intelligence, which allows them to exist out there without being able to light a campfire and cook their food and everything, you know. Most of them, you know, they've adapted pretty well to their environment.
Alan, what did you guys used to do with the coons? They'd buy them off of you? Or what were the pelts used for? Not just coonskin hats, right?
Coonskin coats, the fur industry, you know, collars on big fancy coats, and You know, once again, during the right time of year when it's cold and the skin is thicker and the hair, you know, sticks in better and the hide is thicker, you know, that's why, you know, trapping season is always in the winter, you know, because the skins get tougher, they get thicker, and the hair, you know, it's just makes for a much better pelt than something you shoot during the middle of summer when it's 108 yeah. degrees outside, you know. They're kind of trimmed down then. But you go out hunting with a spotlight. You shine around the creeks, up in the trees, and you see a set of eyes up there. And once you've done it, you know, you can tell a set of coon eyes, or you can tell if it's a ringtail, or, you know, maybe a fox, you know, that ran up a tree or something. But you shoot it in the eyes. You take it back. You zip it open. You peel the skin off of it. Put it on a stretcher and dry it. And you get money for it, or you used to be able to.
They got rid of.
I mean, I've trapped muskrats, right? Beavers. I've still got all my traps, you know, my killer traps, my leg hold traps. Everything don't get used that much anymore. But the depletion of the fur industry has allowed it to become a predator paradise out here.
And everything's made of plastic now. So you get plastic jackets that are made out of different fibrous materials, and they sell those for $5, you know, because they're made out of China. I mean, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, remember when Goose Down Coats came out? What was it, Back to the Future, where he goes back and he's wearing his Goose Down vest, and he said, who are you, the Michelin Man? No.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I loved those coats. You're like, poof, poof. And they were so long.
I've still got a North Face Goose Down coat that I got in the 70s. You know, hell, back then it was like $80 or $90 back then. You know, this big, big, fluffy, puffy, you know, North Face Goose Down coat. And I've still got it. It's got a lot of battle scars on it. It ain't real pretty, you know. But, man, you want to talk about being warm unless you get wet. If you get wet, then it's useless. But... No, dry. It's very warm.
You still have some blue jeans from when you were in high school. You know,
I don't have any bell bottoms left, but that's probably just because all of them got chewed up in the bike chains when you're trying to ride a bicycle. Bicycles and bell bottom jeans did not go together at all unless you put a big rubber band around them while you went riding your bike.
Yeah, that's the neat thing about it. Hey, we're getting some calls in right now. So,
all right.
First of all, let's go see if it was Sherry talking about dirty electricity last week. Hey,
yeah.
Sherry.
Hi. His name is Milham.
His last name. Milhouse. Okay, Milham.
And,
very good.
The coroner you were talking about, David Scorpio, had her on last Sunday.
Was it Scorpio? Yeah, okay.
And her name is Marie Lassiter, and she is actually the coroner in Texas County, Missouri. She's a smart lady. I'm really impressed with her.
Yeah, her antics were great. You know,
you should
go to the archive, listen to Scorpio's. It wasn't Scorpio's show. It was whose show was it on?
Well, he had her on last Sunday, and then John Moore has her on Fridays, every Friday.
I don't think it was Scorpio, because it was 2 hours.
He's on 2 hours now. Oh, I thought he was.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, it was,
it was on at 5, or no, not. Well, who comes on at 7 after Steve? Who comes on after Steve on Sundays?
Yeah, Giuseppe. It was Giuseppe's show.
Giuseppe? Maybe it was him, but
it was.
Okay.
It was Giuseppe's. Let's put that to rest. Yeah, if anybody wants a good conversation, go to Giuseppe's show. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on archives. Go to Giuseppe and have a listen. It's really good. She outlined a different view of 2020, 2021 from an insider's perspective, I guess would be the best way to actually.
Let me tell you all something else. I actually wrote this down as something I wanted to mention. Luca's show yesterday, I mean, that guy just let go, and I'm sitting here. It's like he's talking from my own freaking brain. You know, is it all nice and warm and fuzzy? But no, Luca yesterday on his show sat down, and man, he just laid it out. You know, how much freaking trouble we're really in: technology, food, water, air, laws and everything else. Great show, thank you, Luca. That was a great show.
Oh shoot, I missed that one. I guess I got the archives right.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
When you used to hunt in Arkansas or just even travel through the woods, did you ever run into a porcupine?
Yeah. In Arkansas, no. But believe it or not, down here in Texas, we have porcupines roving all over the place.
Really?
My dogs have come back with porcupine quills in their nose. My cousin had horses down here at the house for a while. I was feeding him. I went down there one time, and I looked, and I'm like, Paint, what the hell is wrong with you? And I looked at him, and it's like he looked like he had a beard. He had porcupine, quills in his lower lip. So, you know, we had to put a twitch on him and pluck, porcupine quills out of a horse. That was a fun experience,
wow.
Let me tell you.
Did you have to anesthetize him?
No. You know, he was a good old horse. You put a twitch on the rubber lip, which is kind of like a loose chain, and you kind of twist it a little bit, and it puts just enough pressure on there that they'll pretty much do whatever you want to. But still, he didn't like it when I grabbed those porcupine quills with a pair of pliers and yanked them out. But it had to be done,
Yeah, my dog, we were walking in a wooded area, and see, I'm pushing 70, and I had never seen a porcupine in the wild. And this thing was huge, and he got a snout full, and I took him to the vet because I tried to pull him out, and I couldn't keep him still enough. But this thing was huge.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, and when you're yanking them out, they don't like it that much, but, when it's all over with and those quills aren't in their nose anymore, they're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. But, I mean, this thing, I was just looking at from a kind of 10 feet away at a top view, and I could swear it was like 2 foot in length and like 18 inches wide, and it was probably kind of squatting down, but, I mean, I'd never seen one.
They waddle, they waddle from side to side. It's kind of like watching a beaver without the flat tail and a lot of really sharp stuff sticking out of their back. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I've never seen one, but I hope he remembers the smell of that animal and he won't pick a fight with because he.
It's every dog that I've had since I moved down here. Every dog, it takes them, two or three times before they learn the smell of a porcupine. BB, my last lab, we used to call them tree elephants, and it's like, and BB, it's like we'd be out in the pasture and I'd hear this bark and I'm like, oh, BB's got a porcupine up a tree somewhere. Go over and sure as hell, it's like he got poked enough and he knew that, when dad finds a porcupine, we shoot them because they ring trees, they can kill trees, and we don't need that out here. We get enough live oaks dying of this oak wilt, and but no, it's every one of my dogs, it takes them 2, 3, 4 times, getting a nose full of quills before they figure out not to stick their nose in it.
Oh, I hope my dog's not that stupid.
I do too.
But up here they told me that they're usually farther east than I am. They don't see that a lot up here, but they said that they live in wooded areas. But I didn't know that you had enough density of wood down there that they hung around there. Anyway, that was.
Steve and I live here in the hill country. It's not like West Texas scrubland. We actually we've got mostly live oak trees, but there are black cherry trees and elm trees and walnuts and pecans. Depending on where you are in a pasture, or down in a creek valley. No, this isn't like, like the wild flats like you see, in the cowboy movies. There's a lot of trees and rolling pastures, a whole lot of rock. But,
Okay, well, my dog's killed a, he also killed a bit, looked to me like a fairly big coon for his size in this wooded area last year. And, you know.
Oh, the raccoons. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've got a dog that can kill a coon, you got a pretty badass dog.
Well, he only weighs about 60 pounds, but he's pretty badass. You know, he goes out to the armadillos and...
Oh, armadillos. My dog right now, she loves armadillos. That's her forte. That's her nemesis, you know. We got in the pasture. My dog, Antu, she can find... If there's an armadillo within 500 yards of you, she's going to find it. In fact, it wasn't too long ago. She came up one morning, and I'm like, what in the hell you got in your mouth? And she had this... You know, she goes out, and normally this is in the springtime, you know, when all the little baby armadillos are running around. She'll catch them and bring them to me. And it was fairly late in the season, but she had this little bitty armadillo, and she had it in her mouth. I, you know, brought it to me. I took it from her, put it in a cage, and once again, they're strong as hell. It got its way out of one of the rabbit cages Steve gave me years ago.
But, wow. Oh, well, that's pretty
good. Just like bending up the wire or chewing the wood or what?
It just had a rabbit-proof, you know, little hatch, you know, gate on it, you know, with a little catch. And, yeah, it was strong enough that it got at the bottom of it and pushed the wire out and squirted out. And I guess it's out there in the pasture somewhere now.
Yeah, rabbits aren't great escape artists as far as,
Just like they bring you a rat or a mouse that they find, yours brings you a baby armadillo. Okay, I'll get off and let somebody else talk to you.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in and clarifying those points. Hey, we're going to be going to break really quick, but let's just go ahead and bring on Ken. Ken in Texas, we'll hold you through.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, these raccoons that you're seeing out and about, is this a normal activity? I'm just kind of curious. I have a lot of experience with them. When I lived on the left coast, before we'd have an earthquake, they'd always be out scurrying around, coming out of the sewers and, you know, right in the middle of suburbia, just running all over the place. So I just was curious.
I'd say that usually the roadkill on the side of the roads is usually deer and skunk. And this year, the last couple months, I keep seeing raccoons. They're just like everywhere. And so the majority, I've seen a couple deer, it's like, whoa, but why all the raccoons? I really don't know. It's seasonal. Every year is a little bit different, maybe. Or maybe we're going to have an earthquake. Yeah. I don't know. Alan?
And, well, you know, most of the time that you see a raccoon, you know, they're pretty much nocturnal, except for in the springtime. You know, when they, you know, it's like coons, foxes, you know, ringtails, which is ringtails like a weasel with a coon tail on it. It's actually a beautiful little animal. But during the springtime when they have babies, depending on how, you know, how stressed the year is, you know, they will go out in the daytime, and you'll see coons out in the daytime, you know, foraging for food because they've got young ones to feed. But
I hear the music.
Most of the time if you see a coon during the daytime, it's kind of scraggly looking, and you might want to just shoot it and dump it in a hole.
Yeah, if it's out in the daytime,
it could
sure.
be rabid.
Hang on, folks. Republic of Texas Radio will be right back after the break.
Praise the mother. In the farther sky, paid attention to each little blessing in this life, had a more intimate connection with the spirit world, learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Truth, truth.